wasn't nervous, but I'm really loud. Can you turn me down just a little bit? Thanks. I wasn't nervous until I put this little mic on, and I could just feel the Holy Spirit just coming on me. And I just want you guys to just, this ministers to you tonight, just let God speak to you. How many of us are just tired? You know, we're already thinking this week ahead of us. I know it's Sunday, but as a mom, I'm thinking, okay, Monday, does everybody have clothes to wear to work and school? Who has a game? I mean, I've already talked to Brenda Babe. I'm like, hey, Monday we have a game. Where are we going? You know, and all that. I'm still loud. There we go. Not just moms, but there's dads out there that are thinking ahead too. Gosh, this week I got work. I got to make some money so I can feed my family. I have places to go. I have things I got to get done. I have to check this box. And we're tired. We're busy. Every day we have something going on. Someone's pulling us. Someone's tugging us here. Going there, right? Well, are you too busy for God? I'm going to preach this to me tonight. You guys just get to listen. Because I haven't said it verbally that I'm too busy for God. But I've acted it. You know, trying to prepare this message, I had something completely different to do. And I was talking to Pastor Angelo earlier. I said, I had something completely different. And then last night, about midnight, God said, no, you're going to do this. I'm like, okay. So I had my phone there. I was doing notes. And I said, okay, we're going to do this. So for the past 12 years, Gary and I have used our vacation days for like church camp, for anything in ministry, county fairs. Our daughter is huge in FFA and Hopewell. Let me pause right here. Last time I took this pulpit, I did not say, Haley, I appreciate you being here. I announced every single person that sat in those two rows, my mom, my grandma, everybody, and I missed my daughter, who is my pride and joy. I breathe because of her. I love her. I will chase a county fair, state fair for her. So thank you, Haley, for being here. Thank you for helping me. I love you, and I'm so sorry for forgetting you last time. So, but as a mom, you get busy, right? So for 12 years, Gary and I, we have sat at hospitals with someone wasn't even our blood family. But we consider our church family our family. When we moved here, we knew no one. So we just surround ourselves with our church family. We would take days off for helping with church stuff. We would take days off to do anything but a real vacation. The girls that I work with, they always joke and they say, are you ever going to take a real vacation? I said, well, someday. Someday when my daughter's graduated high school, we'll go and do something. And Gary and I, we just love to serve. We love to help others. It's hard for us to say no. So this morning when Pastor was teaching and preaching about boundaries, we got to put up those boundaries. We got to be able to say no. It's hard, but we're going to learn. We've taken, originally when I wrote this, I said two vacations, but there's actually three. The first one was our honeymoon. Now, men, just think of this. We lived in California. We didn't get snow. So my boss at the time paid for us to go to this cabin in Utah. It was gorgeous. There was fresh snow. They paid for lift passes, snowboarding, skis, whatever we wanted to do, 3 days free. Gave us some spending cash, gas money to get there and everything. We pull up, and I get the flu. I am sick. Oh, my gosh. So the bathroom was gorgeous. That's all I seen for 3 days. Poor Gary sitting on the couch. There's a beautiful fireplace and chocolate-covered strawberries and apple cider and little flutes that said Mr. and Mrs. on there. He's like, I don't even like apple juice, so it's just going to sit there, you know. And so that was our first vacation. And then the second, we decided to take Jack and Rocky for their 50th anniversary to Bristol, Tennessee. They are huge NASCAR people. Oh, my gosh. So we were so proud of ourselves. We saved up the money. We're like, we're going to do this. And so we get to the airport. Well, first we almost, it was an adventure the whole time. We had to share a tiny little motel room at the airport. You could hear the planes coming in and going out. Nobody slept. So we get on the plane. We fly to Tennessee. And we get a rental car. And it's nice. It's a Jeep, and we feel all fancy. We start driving from the airport, and we're going to Bristol, which is a little nowhere. And we get lost in the Smoky Mountains. And it is scary. You could tell we're from California. We're like, oh, where are we? There's detour signs, detour, detour, detour. Oh, my goodness. I'll ask anybody for directions, and there's these guys. We're at a gas station. Their beard is down to here. And they're just looking at me, and they're like, what does she want? You know, and I'm like, excuse me, I'm looking for a blah, blah, blah motel. And they're like, you ain't from here, are you? And I'm like, no, sir. I'm like, and so they gave us directions. But then we get to the track, and it's hot. It's humid. Then it pours rain. Oh, my gosh, it's just dumping on us. We have a picture. I thought about putting it up there, but I forgot to send it to the guys, but we are in plastic trash bags is what it looked like to us, but we paid probably $10 a piece for them to somewhat keep us dry, but we're sweating so much. And so the race gets delayed. I'm like, Gary, we tried to do something so nice, and it is so miserable. And that was our second vacation. So as soon as the race is over... It is, like, so late. I don't know. Was it midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning? And we have to catch a red eye because we're in bumper to bumper out of this dirt field trying to get to the airport. We have to catch this red eye because my baby is about to start kindergarten in hours. I mean, I got hours to get from Tennessee to LAX to drive to Bakersfield, California, which is another 3 hours away, because I'm not missing her first day of kindergarten. Can any mom relate to this crazy chaos? I mean, that's how life is. It's always crazy. It's always chaos. So, of course, we made it. First day of pictures, we have bloodshot eyes, but we get her off to kindergarten, and it was great. I almost forgot, last summer we went to California. That was not a vacation. It was miserable. And we couldn't wait to get back home to Arkansas. We did not realize that this is God's country until we moved here. And we're like, oh, I never want to go to California ever again. On the way back from California, we stop in Texas, and our truck decides it's not going any further. So it was a very expensive trip, and we are still paying for that for another 4.5 more years, and then that trip will be gone. But anyways... So if you ask our family, are we busy? We are busy. We are constantly going. We never know if we're coming or going. We have a team of people that I'm like, hey, can you go pick up Haley? Hey, can you go drop this off for Haley or whatever? Can anybody else relate? I mean, it's always busy, and you're always running, and it's hectic. So our family, they always joke with us, and they're like, if you ever slow down, I'll have a hot meal on the table. You know, if you would stop burning the candle at both ends, you know, you could have some rest. I've been known to double book us, and once I triple booked us, and they still don't let me live that down. So, like I said, we're always busy. Haley keeps us on our toes between school, FFA, work, now a pageant. We never know what she's going to get us into. Recently, Gary has started a new job. And this job, we carpool together. We both work at the same place. So I drop him off. I see him whenever I drop him off, and I see him when he crawls in the truck. He says, I don't even have time to breathe. I start my new position tomorrow. I'll still be doing the same thing. They just changed my title. But I used to be able to sit at my desk, read my Bible, do a devotion. I get the devotion every morning at 8:30 on my phone, and I always read it. The last 3 weeks, I have been too busy. And the alert's on there, and then it's really bad when that alert comes on there and it says, you have not opened this app. Are you too busy? And I was like, oh, Lord, please help me. Help me. So I'm guilty of neglecting my alone time with God. I don't know. I'm not trying to get you guys to start beating yourselves up, but it's just something to think about. Are we getting ourselves too busy for God? Are we putting too much in our lives? Are we not saying that running with your kids is a bad thing, because I won't stop supporting my kid, but I have to write it down. This is my time for God. This is the time I have set aside to get alone with God. Because if I don't, I will perish. My soul will be so hungry and dry. There is no excuse for not spending any time with God. You know, if we have time, and I'm not going to re-preach Gary's message from last Sunday, but if we have time to scroll through our phone, to look at Facebook or TikTok or whatever you have, even if you're sitting there just going through pictures, then you have time to spend that time with God. Get in His Word. Get in. This is so amazing. If you just apply it to your life, it could answer every question you have. It could help you with every problem you face. Here's something else for us moms, or hopefully dads too. Have you ever noticed whenever you're like, okay, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to read my Bible, and then you start getting tired. And you're like, oh, I'm awake. Okay, I'm going to go get something to drink. I'm going to come back. And then, oh, I needed to pick up these socks and these shoes. And then, oh, let me start a load of laundry. Pretty soon, you haven't read your Bible. You know, it's just like, oh, it's so frustrating to know that, okay, I'm going to set this time aside. Well, then something else distracts you. And you're like, okay, I'm just going to start praying. And then your kid comes to you and says, oh, I forgot to tell you I have a field trip. Can you sign this? Oh, and I need to know, are you going to pack me a lunch, or does the school need to send me a lunch? I'm like, not right now. I got to do this, right? But we sign it. How about you're in there and you got your praise and worship music on, you shut the door, you got your Bible reading, and you hear, we're out of toilet paper. Somebody bring me toilet paper. Every time, I'm glad I'm not the only one. It's not just my house. Your phone rings. You forget to wash a uniform. You forgot there's a game, and you're supposed to bring the snacks. So I have learned a few ways to get alone with God. Okay, I am the driver in my house. I crank my praise and worship music. Don't like it? Put your earbuds in. But we're going to change the atmosphere in this truck. We're going to start praising and worshiping God on the way to and from school and work, because this is where I got to have my alone time with God. God inhabits the praises of His people. It says in the Word that He wants to hear from us. He longs to hear from us. And He's waiting. When I'm picking up stuff from around the house, when I'm doing like laundry or dishes or whatever, I'm praying, and then I start thinking of every person that I have come in contact with, or God will put someone in my mind. I'm like, okay, God, you know the situation. That is spending time with God. So if you are driving all the time and you can't read your Word while you're driving, you could start praying. And as our faces start coming to mind, you could start mentioning us, because God's going to lay us on your heart to say, ooh, pray for Sister Sherry. She's facing something right now, but God knows. I don't know, and I don't need to know, but God knows. And so that's the time that you can get alone with God. Start singing those songs, those hymns. These girls, every time they get up here and sing, those songs just start sticking in my brain. I'm like, oh, yeah, I love that. I'm so glad they sang that tonight, too, because I was singing that. But I'm not a good singer. Gary and Haley can attest to that, but they're going to hear me sing God's praises because, well, they're just stuck in the truck. And maybe one day they'll get their license. So the first place I want to turn to is Matthew 6:33. We should all know this one. It's pretty common. It says, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. But first, we got a job to do. We have to seek Him first. We have to get alone with Him. If we can't just go to God and, God, I want this. God, I need this. God, I want. Right? We have to worship Him. We have to praise Him. We have to get in His Word. We got to know Him. You don't just go to a stranger and say, hey, can I have a piece of candy? No, you don't do that. We were taught at a young age you don't take candy from a stranger, right? But the old ladies in church, they're not strangers. You could take their candy. That's what I was taught. So, but you got to know God. You have to get alone with him. Listen to praise and worship. So a while back, we did a challenge with the youth. We told them, all right, here's a double dog dare. Do not listen to anything but Christian music for 2 weeks. They're like, oh, that's hard. Oh, that's hard. I said, but challenge yourself. I'm sure you guys can do it. Some did. Some, they're like, well, I tried, but I couldn't. And then, so I tried it again. I said, well, you got another week from this Wednesday to this Wednesday. Try it again. We have found just by changing their music in their earbuds, in the house, in the car, it will change the atmosphere. It will change their attitude. It will give them peace because God is peace. He is our comforter. When they're having something major going on, like a test or bullies at school, start playing that music, that Christian music. Start pumping that into your home. Pump it into your car. Don't let them change that channel. They sleep better. They're less cranky. It's amazing just an adjustment and just listening to what they have changes who they are. Because if you will allow God, he will change you. And it's you don't have to preach to them. You don't have to say, you know, thump them on the head with the Bible. That music that they're listening to is changing because it's coming in their brain and it's planting seeds. All you have to do is plant it, and God's going to water it and minister to them through that music. So start listening to praise and worship music. Parents, I challenge you for 2 weeks. Don't play anything else but Christian music and see what changes in your household. That is a form of spending time with God, getting alone with God. Next place is Psalms 150 and 6. It says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now I want everybody to go.
Hallelujah.
That means all of us. Every single one of us that just took breath in our lungs. We are to praise the Lord. And he didn't just say it once. He said it twice. He said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, when my mom tells it to me twice, that means she thinks I didn't hear it the first time. So here's God telling us, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Did you hear me? Praise the Lord. So see, God has to tell us twice. That means open your ears, listen. We got to praise him. We got to go to church. You know, I know a lot of people don't want to thump you on the head and say church attendance is important, blah, blah, blah. It is. It is because this is where we meet. Could you imagine that there wasn't church? Well, we could now because we went through the pandemic. And I'll tell you, watching church online, I can't do it. It's good for some people, but I personally, I have to be in church. I have to see you guys. We need to make church a priority. Gathering in a room of believers who thirst for Jesus, I mean, like, it's going to help you. It's going to motivate you. It says iron sharpens iron. We have to be here. We have to be together. We have to come into one accord. We have to worship God together. We have to, I'm going to jump ahead of my notes, I'm sure. There was a time before we found Paris Christian Center, or before God led us here, that we weren't going to church. It was a few months. And I've been born and raised in church my whole life, and so I couldn't imagine not being in a church. I know it's a building, but it's the people I have to be with. I didn't know any of you, but as soon as I walked through the doors, I knew God was here. I knew this is where God called me to be. I knew that I needed to be in here because I was so hungry and so thirsty for the Word. And the Word comes from this pulpit every service. the real message comes from God's word out of someone's mouth who stands here and tells you, and it's God's word. Everything in here is God's breath. And he has anointed every person that has come and stood behind this pulpit to preach to us, to minister to us, to teach us, to correct us. We need all those things. And so when I came in, I just could feel the presence. I need church. I need you guys. I told you I'm preaching to me, so you guys just get to enjoy. I need your smiles. When I come in, and if I've had a rough week, your smile does so much for me and my spirit. I need your hugs. I need your prayers. I have to hear your testimonies because I got to know what God's doing for you, because if God's going to do something for you, he's going to do something for me, because he's no respecter of any person. So when Pastor opens it up for you to share your testimony, that's to tell everybody else, hey, God is doing something for me. You know, it's not that, oh, he only does it for me, not for anybody else. No, he's no respecter of person. So if God's going to do it for you, Sister Millie, he healed you. I mean, when I got here, I had heard that you just got healed of cancer. Then you fall and you break your wrist and you could raise your hands. And God healed you. So I know if God could heal you, he could heal any of you. You know, God is just amazing. You know, he loves us. He wants the very best for us. And he tells you every promise, but you'll never know it if you don't read it. Yes, it's wonderful that pastor gets up here every service and she preaches to you, but you can't live just by her. She's not going to get up to heaven and answer for you guys. When you get up there, you got to answer for yourself. She's doing her job. Now we got to do our job. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Right there it says we need to work together. We got to spur one another. It's just like going back to that other scripture of iron sharpens iron. I should have put that one in here, but we've heard that one. Not giving up meeting together. Right there it says do not give up meeting together. Don't give up coming in here. Don't give up coming in and smiling, or even if you're having a bad time, let us smile on you. Let us hug you. Let us love on you. We need each other, especially in these end days. We've got to bind together. You know, we're a family here. We have to work together. We have to, you know, love on each other and support each other through anything that is thrown our way. So it says, not giving up meeting together as some are in a habit of doing. Uh-oh. Some of us are in a habit of not coming. Right here it tells us, some of us, we decide, I don't need to go tonight. I'll go next Sunday. You know, right there it says, we have to. We need to. We need each other. It says, but encouraging one another. That's another thing. We've got to encourage each other. And some of us have been there already, so we could share our testimony and it will help whoever's in that situation right now. You know, so when you stand up and you say, God has done so many wonderful things for me, he has brought me through this fire. Well, whoever's sitting in the pew next to you could be like, I'm right there. That's where I'm at right now. Oh my gosh, I need to talk to that person after church because I need to know how God helped them through it. And, you know, God's going to help me through it. If he helps her, it's going to help me, you know. And all the more as you see the day approaching. So we have to come together. We have to make reverence here. We have to come to church. We need it. It'll be very detrimental if we don't. Hard work is a Christian's ethic. This is the hardest working church I've ever been in. You guys have so many people that will just jump in and help. Oh, you need that? I'll get that. Don't worry, I got this. I'll work. I'll volunteer. I mean, every Wednesday I watch the video of all the volunteers. There's so many people that help and work in this church. You know, it's just, that's who we are. We're just hard workers. It's who we are. We work hard for the kingdom. It's our identity. We are going to be here to work, serve, and help others. We are born to serve. We are here to lead. We're going to help others. Sometimes we just need to sit and listen. So there's times to work, and there's time to sit and listen. Maybe this job is for Brother Sam. Brother Sam, can you take the fruit out and throw it in the dumpster because we don't want Sister Barbara to do it, you know? Hey, but Sister Barbara, can you go get those plastic sacks ready? You know, there's a job for everybody, and sometimes we just need someone to just sit and listen, especially when God is speaking to us. So now I'm going to go to the story of Mary and Martha. I'm sure you guys know it very well. So we're going to turn to Luke 10, 38 through 42. And this is at the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, but he wasn't there. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations and that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Now, how many of us can relate to that? There's usually one worker bee and one lazy bee, right? There's someone that's going to be cooking and cleaning and prepping and cleaning some more, and then there's going to be this one that's just sitting there doing nothing, right? I could put myself in actually both of their seats right now. I'm sure all of us women could. If I have company coming over and they're unannounced and I don't really know them, of course I'm going to pick up my house. My house is clean, but it's lived in. I have a dog and I have a kid and a husband, and so it's lived in. But if I don't really know you, I'm going to clean. And then I'm going to make sure that you have sweet tea, water, soda, something to drink, something to snack on. Sit down at the seat, you know, make sure my dog's not jumping on you. You know, I'm going to make sure that you're welcome, wanted, comfortable, and, you know, just feel at home. So I can understand Martha just cooking, cleaning, prepping. I mean, back then you couldn't just order a pizza. You know, you had to cook. You couldn't just open a package of bread. No, you had to make it, you know. So times were different than they are now. But then I can also see Mary. You have Jesus sitting right there on your couch. Of course, I'm going to sit right at his feet and just hear everything he has to tell me. So I can put myself in both their shoes right now. If my family's coming over, I'm just going to sit there. They know where the fridge is. You know, they know how to get in there and make a sandwich if they want to. I mean, I'm going to sit there and just listen and talk and visit. So you see right here, Mary sits at Jesus' feet to hear every word he's speaking, while Martha is stressing out about cooking, cleaning, prepping, and Martha complains. How many of us are complainers? You know, sometimes I'd be like, hey, this isn't fair. How come I'm doing all the work and she's just sitting there? I could be guilty of that too. And then she tells Jesus, tell her to help me. Come on. You could see her. She's just sitting there being lazy and I'm doing all the work. And then if we go down just a little bit, sorry, I didn't have this. It says, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So she's sitting there because it's better for her to sit and listen. Sometimes we need to sit and listen. And when we sit and listen, that's when we have to zip it. Because when our mouth is going, sometimes our ears are closed. So sometimes we just have to bite our lip, open our ears, and hear what God is telling us to do. We don't need to tell God how to do his job. He's going to guide us, direct us, correct us. He's going to love on us. So there's times where I'm preaching to myself, I need to stop worrying about the details. I need to rest in his presence. I need to enjoy what he has for me because he's already taken care of it. I don't have to worry about anything. He tells me in his word, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has its own worries. I will take care of today, tomorrow, and the future. I've already got it planned out for you. Just chill. So Are you a Martha or are you a Mary? Something to think about. So I did a little object lesson because I like to work with kids and teenagers. So this water right here is going to represent getting alone with God, going to church, listening to his word, praise and worship. These bowls are just going to represent helping someone, praying for someone, taking time away from what I'm doing. I have not gone to church. I've not got alone with God. Coco, what happens when the sponge isn't wet or when you don't put it in water? Coco told me before service, this is like SpongeBob. Guess there was a time on SpongeBob, he didn't get in the water, so he was dry. So same thing. So if I don't get in my word, I don't go to church, I don't play Christian music, I'm going to be dry. And I cannot give anybody anything. I have nothing to give to them. Okay? So I think, you know what? I think I'm just going to listen today for a little bit of Christian music. Well, still that's not enough to give to anybody. That's not going to change. That's not life-changing. Okay, fine. I'll go to church on Sunday morning, but not Sunday night because I'm tired. I got to work tomorrow. I don't need to go. Oh, let me pray for you. Oh, yeah. Here, I got to pray for this person too. Oh, but then look, it's not enough, huh, Coco? I'm still dry. And I've already poured out what I've gotten on. You have to come every Sunday and every Wednesday and every time. And then you're full, right, Coco? So when you come, like Coco said, every Sunday morning, Sunday night, even Wednesday, you can give to this person, you have enough to give to that person, and you still have some left over, right? Amen. So you and your family. You got to give some to your family. So you get the gist of it. But if I don't go, I'm going to be dried up again, and I can't help anybody when I'm dry. I can't minister to people if I'm not getting in the Word, if I'm not changing my ways. You know, I could just lay there and be dried up. And when somebody comes to me, I'll be like, let me find somebody to help you because I don't have anything in me. So if I go to church, if I go and get alone with God and I start reading my Word, I fill back up. I can have more of God in me to give to others, because God gives to us so we could give to others. So it's not just going to church as a routine. We don't come here. You serve God. You come here to serve God. Coco's got it figured out. Coco's going to be preaching with me soon, I'm betting. So, no, you could do it now. So don't leave here without receiving something from God. Every time you come through these doors, soak it up. Open your ears. Let God minister to you. Let it receive in your brain, your heart, your soul. Every time that you come through the doors, there's a divine appointment right here waiting for you. Whoever has been prepared, whoever is standing behind this pulpit has prepared, has heard from God to minister, and he knows exactly who's going to be in a service. He knows exactly where you're at in your life and what you need. He knows what you need to hear. He knows what you don't need to hear, and he's going to just guide you, mold you, protect you, save you. He's going to change your life. And we just have to get alone with him. We just have to quit being too busy. So when you do get too busy, you got to remember you have to replenish yourself. You have to come back. You have to come back to the one who created you. And you were created to serve. You were created to love one another. He's going to fill you up where you are running over, and you have so much to give to others. But you have to take time. You have to get alone. It's It's important to read your Bible. It's important to come to church. It's important to pay attention. Not just come in here and sit and think, oh, what's tomorrow going to bring? Ooh, did I wash that uniform? Ooh, what are we having for lunch? What are we doing for dinner? We got to pay attention. We got to be in the now. We have to listen and receive. I want to open the altars tonight for all of us, because every single one of us needs a refill. Everybody needs to take their soda cup up to their fountain and just get a new ice and soda or iced tea, whatever you like to drink. God's waiting for you to make the move. Get out of your chairs. Get up here and get alone with God. Before you walk out of these doors, get refilled. So when you go see that coworker tomorrow or that classmate, you will be refilled to give to them. So that's pretty much all I have, but I want to open these altars to every single person for a refilling. Even myself, I'm going to hit these altars. Amen.